Good evening, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 304. 304 in your hymn book. 304. We are never, never weary of the grand old song. Glory to God, hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well-known hymn, a great hymn, reminding us of the great blessings we have in Christ. And praise God, the believer has a song in their heart, a hallelujah in their souls, because of what the Lord has done for them in salvation and in redemption. 304, standing as we sing. I'm singing it with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing.
Oh,
Well, we just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord and praying for the Lord's presence and nearness, the Lord's Spirit to be poured out upon us tonight and to speak to our hearts through His Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee tonight in the worthy and all-powerful and all-prevailing name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the one who is indeed the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who gives us the victory again and again. And we thank Thee, O God, that that victory was won for us at tremendous cost on Calvary's cross. We thank Thee, O God, that the Word of God tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank Thee, O God, for the perfect life of Christ. But, O God, we rejoice, O God, tonight in that fountain that was opened up for sin and all uncleanness. And we thank Thee that that fountain is the fountain of the Savior's blood that was shed freely for us guilty sinners upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight that we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of Thy grace. We realize, O God, that we did not deserve salvation. We realize, O God, that in and of ourselves we deserve the wrath of God, the judgment of God. It was our due. And yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou wert mindful of us. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou didst send Thine only begotten Son in love and in mercy and in grace to save us. And Father, we thank Thee tonight as Thy people for that day and hour and our own life's experience when Thou didst bring us savingly and believingly unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, for Thy saving grace and for Thy keeping power. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people that we can say of a truth that it is well with our souls. We thank Thee tonight for the pardon of sin. And we thank Thee, Lord, that we can look forward to heaven, to that palace in heaven's high court for good, that place of many mansions. And we thank Thee that that place is reserved for us, purchased for us by the blood of Christ. And Lord, Thy word declares that nothing can separate Thy people from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And what we have tonight, O God, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefined, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us as the people of God. Father, we pray for Thy blessing to be upon us tonight, O God. We confess our sins before Thee, O Lord. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. We pray, O God, for the outpouring of the Spirit of God with power upon us tonight, upon every one of our hearts and our souls, Lord. Our faces differ, so do our needs. Yet, O God, we thank that Thou art able to come and to meet us each one at the very point of our need. O Father, Thou hast said in Thy word that we are to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that promised possession, that promised power of God, the Holy Ghost, that has been purchased for us by the blood of the cross. And Father, we would pray, O God, tonight in the Savior's name, that Thou would outpour Thy Spirit upon us tonight, that Thou would bless our hearts tonight afresh around Thy word. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. We think of those two in the road to Emmaus. Their hearts were sad. They were downcast, yet Jesus Himself drew near. He opened to them the Scriptures. And Lord, they did but confess. Did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus Himself drew near and talked with us by the way? And Lord, we would pray that that would be our portion tonight. Lord, abide with us. Speak to our hearts through Thy word, not just in their ear, but in the deepest recesses of our hearts. And oh, that like that the psalmist of old, we would hide Thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, help us in the place of prayer. We need Thy help, Lord. We confess our weakness, our inability, even to pray. And Lord, we ask that Thou will pour upon us each one tonight the spirit of prayer and supplication. Lord, teach us to pray. Burden our hearts for those things that Thou would have us to pray for. We thank Thee for the powerhouse of prayer. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, for the access that we have right to the very throne room of heaven. And that, Lord, we can come to Thee in prayer, none daring
to make us afraid. Lord, bless all who have gathered tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, every home and family, Lord, represented. Lord, we have different needs and cares and problems and burdens as the people of God. And Lord, we pray that thou will come by thy Spirit and meet us each one at the very point of our need. Lead us onward and heavenward. Help us to die more and more to self and to sin, and to live more and more unto Christ, and for thine honor and for thy glory. Remember those who may be listening in online tonight, whoever they are, wherever they are found, Lord, draw near. We thank that thou art not limited to a building, Lord. Draw near by thy Spirit and apply the word of God to their hearts with power as thou would see their needs. And Lord, for those that cannot join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity, O Lord, bless them especially and minister to them by the grace of God. For others that mourn and grieve have suffered loss in recent times, do comfort their hearts. And Lord, bless those family circles especially, and fill the vacant chair with the presence and the nearness of the Lord, and be unto them all that they would need and require, we pray. We thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna amongst the boys and girls. Bless that seed that has been sown, O God. We pray, Lord, that there'll be much fruit even in that meeting this term. We pray that boys and girls will come to know thee, each and every one, as Savior. And those who have already trusted thee, lead them on with God and work in their homes and in their families also, we pray. And do unite them all in Christ, O Lord, we ask. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day, and help given to thy servant and the ministry of thy word, and all who are in under the sound of thy word. And Father, we pray especially for those that were in out of Christ. Lord, speak on to their hearts and save them by the power of God divine. Bless other prayer meetings such as this tonight, Lord. Gospel missions on at this time. We think of Colin and Noel there in the mission in Mackerel Inn. We thank thee for that open door. Bless them in the preaching of your word there tonight. And even visit that meeting house with salvation, we pray. And give thy servants the joy of pointing souls to thee and of seeing even in these days, Lord, fruit for their labors. Bless us now, we pray. Cover our meeting over and around with the precious blood. And Lord, may we each one go home tonight rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard the voice of God to our souls. And Lord, that we might say of a truth that was good for us to be here. For here we met afresh with thee, our God and our Savior. Abide with us to this end, we pray, and have thy way among us this night. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. While you're looking that passage up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. Good to see each one gathered with us here tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do please remember the meetings over the weekend, Friday night, the children's meeting here at 6:30, and then followed by youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Pray much for those meetings amongst the children and the youth. And then the services here on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon. We belong to bring God's word. And then the evening gospel service, the friends and family service at night at 7 p.m. And our brother, the Reverend David McLaughlin, minister of our church in Carrickduff, will be with us to tell of the Lord's saving grace and keeping power in his life. So pray much for him. Make that meeting known. There's still some wee invite cards there on the table. We encourage you to take those and give them out to friends and family and do all you can to invite others in under the sound of God's word. Can I also just add that this night week, our brother, Mr. Callum Webster, will be with us from the Christian Institute for a deputation meeting. And we commend that meeting to you. They do a vital work and dealing with the issues at hand in our day and generation. So he'll be coming to present the needs of that work and give us an update on the things that are involved in next Tuesday evening. That's the prayer meeting next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. So do remember that also, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse number 1. Here with Paul writing to the believers at Corinth, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 16, and we pray that God would add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The little text of Scripture I want us just to focus our hearts and minds upon tonight are the final words there of verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, in this chapter, Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and as he writes to them, he tells them that his preaching was plain, and his preaching was in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You see that in verse 4 of the chapter. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And my the lesson here for every believer is that in speaking for the Lord and indeed in witnessing for Christ, the believer, yes, should always seek to be plain. And indeed also the believer must always depend upon the Lord's help, upon the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to enable them and to equip them. Paul then tells the Corinthians that he did not preach the wisdom of men or the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of princes, but rather the gospel message that he preached was the wisdom of God. Indeed, it was a message that was planned in eternity past. Look at what he says in verses 6 and 7 of the chapter. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And my another vital lesson here for the believer is that in all his service for God, he or she also must ever speak the wisdom of God, the word of God. The foundation of the believer's message must ever be, thus saith the Lord, what saith the Scriptures. Then in further highlighting the excellency of the gospel message, Paul then makes reference to the blessings that God has for all who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this he does in verse 9 of the chapter when he says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And that really teaches us how how God has great blessings in store for his people here on earth and also in eternity to come. Indeed, the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Our text tonight speaks particularly and speaks of the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. As we would think just briefly tonight upon these words, I want us just to consider together some of the blessings that the Lord has prepared for his people in eternity to come. What are those blessings? Well, first of all, we can say tonight there's the blessing of the believer being with the Lord forever in heaven. Turn back, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Look with me, please, there at verse 2 and verse number 3. So the Lord here speaks to his people. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And here Christ, he speaks of his return. And in doing so, he's going to gather all his redeemed people to be with himself in heaven. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible speaks of the Christian in Paul's letter to the church of the Thessalonians and says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. In his letter addressed to the church at Philippi, Paul spoke of that hope in his own life, and he says, of going to be with Christ, which is far better. And child of God, the great hope tonight of your salvation is that one day, dear believer, you are going to be forever with the Lord in heaven. One day, dear Christian, you're going to be with the one who loved you, the one who gave himself a ransom for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, here on earth, the Lord has promised to be with us by his Spirit. His great promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But then after this scene of time, child of God, you and I will be with Christ in person in heaven forevermore. Yes, with the hymn writer, we can say and sing of a truth, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Tell me tonight, believer, you're looking forward to that day when you'll see Christ, see him in all his glory, all his majesty, and all his splendor. Yes, there is the blessing of the believer being with the Lord forever in heaven. But then secondly, tonight we can also say there is the blessing of the believer being like the Lord forever in heaven. To turn again over to 1 John, over to the New Testament book of 1 John, near the end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter number 3. And I want you to look just at the opening two verses of this chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. John here is writing to the Christian, to you and I who are saved, to all God's redeemed people. And notice what he says in verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 3. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, notice these final words, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, note those final words there of verse 2. We shall be like him. That's Christ. We shall see him as he is. What a prospect for the believer in heaven to being forever like the Lord. Here on earth, yes, we still have that old sinful nature within us as the people of God. And because of that old nature, sadly, we still sin as God's people. Indeed, we very often are very much unlike the Lord as Christians in our attitude, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. But our great hope as believers is that in heaven, we will have sinless perfection. As God's people, we will never, ever again be troubled by inbred sin anymore. Oh, to be like Christ is God's plan for every Christian, for every child of God. You remember the words of Paul in Romans 8, verse 27. He says, of God's people for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's plan for you and I, are saved, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And praise God, one day in heaven, that plan will be perfectly fulfilled in the lives of all of us who are saved in this meeting tonight by the grace of God. Yes, in heaven our souls will be perfect, free from every trace of sin. The Bible speaks of the souls of the believer in heaven in Hebrews 12, verse 23, and it speaks there of the spirits of just men made perfect. And then also in heaven, our bodies will be perfect on the great resurrection day when Christ returns and God's people will rise and the dead in Christ will rise first. The Bible says we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as quick as we would blink with our eye. And our bodies will be changed, perfect, glorified. Corruption will put on incorruption. Immortality will put on immortality. And our bodies will be perfect like Christ. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 3, verse 21. He says to the Lord, he shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a hope we have. What a prize. Forever with the Lord in heaven. Forever like the Lord in heaven. But then in the third place, we can say tonight that in heaven there's also the blessing of the believer being free. The believer being free in heaven from all the limitations of this earth. You think back to creation. Whenever our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were put out of God's perfect paradise, which was the Garden of Eden. But by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, paradise has been regained for the people of God. You remember the words of Christ to the dying thief who was saved beside him on the cross of Calvary. What did Christ say to that thief? He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes, in this world, because of sin, there's chaos in this world. There's trouble. There is sickness. There is pain, there is death. God's people are not immune from these things on earth, but in heaven, all this will be gone. All this will be gone forevermore. Turn with me over, please, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And look there at what the Bible says. John here is speaking to us about heaven. Look at what he says in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 3, he says, and there shall be no more curse. This world is a fallen world. It's a cursed world. It's affected by the curse of sin and all the chaos of sin. But in heaven it says there shall be no more curse. All the curse of sin will be removed and the effects of it in heaven. Turn back there to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 and verse number 5, look at what is said there. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. This is a world of pain. Imagine it, no pain in heaven. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What a hope, believer, you and I have. Peter says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Yes, in this world as believers, we are often attacked day by day by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Also in this world as believers, we suffer pain, sickness, heartbreak, trials, loss, difficulties, we face death. But in heaven, this will all be no more. This will all be gone. Speaking of heaven, the hermitor says it is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign, infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. Child of God, this is your hope. This is your heritage, your blood-bought heritage, purchased for you by the blood of the Lamb. We can say further tonight as well that there's also the blessing of the believer having fellowship with God's people in heaven forevermore. Turn your Bible back to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And look with me, please, there at the verse number 29 of the chapter. Luke chapter 13, the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The verse number 29, and here Christ is speaking to us about heaven. Look and notice what he says, and he says, "And there shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south." And notice these words, "and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." Yes, here on earth there are times when we are blessed and have blessed fellowship with God's people, with the saints of God. But praise God, in heaven we'll sit down and we will have perfect fellowship with God's people for all of eternity. Indeed, that verse there speaks how we shall meet with the saints of God from all the ages of time in heaven. It says, "And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God," meeting together with the saints of God right from the very dawn of time. And in doing so, can I say, dear people of God, our saved loved ones will be with us in heaven, and we shall recognize them in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says this, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Here on earth, our knowledge is imperfect. Our knowledge is limited. But in heaven, our knowledge will be absolutely perfect, and we shall know one another perfectly in heaven. Yes, in heaven, our knowledge of one another, it will be perfect. Not only will it be perfect, it will be free from all of sin's alloy and the tinge of sin. And by the thought of meeting together with other believers in heaven, whom he had known, indeed whom he had loved on earth, was a source of great joy to the Apostle Paul. Think of the words that he said to the believers in the church at Thessalonica. He would never, ever see them again on earth, but he said this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And Paul was looking forward to meeting with those saints again in heaven and glory. Child of God, tonight, have you a loved one who's in the glory tonight, who has died in Christ? Then rejoice that one day you'll meet with them in glory forever and ever. And your fellowship with them will be perfect in heaven forevermore, free from all the limitations and the tinges of sin's alloy here on earth. What a hope, what a prize. Notice one final thought tonight in connection with our text here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It is this, that in heaven there is the blessing also of the believer knowing perfect service and perfect worship of God. Turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter number 7. The 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. And go down there, please, to the verse number 15. And here we read of God's people in heaven. Notice what it says in Revelation 7, verse 15. And it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." And that really speaks to us how in heaven we shall serve the Lord continually. There'll be no end to our service of the Lord in heaven. Go on over a little bit to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And go down there to verse 3 of the chapter. Notice what it says. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of Kings. And those words speak of our worship. It speaks of singing, praising the Lord. It says they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Those words speak of our worship in heaven. And in heaven we will have perfect worship. And in heaven we will have perfect service and eternal service. It will never end. Yes, our continual occupation in heaven will be that of worshiping the Lord, worshiping the Lamb, worshiping Christ who died for us, who rose again, who is in heaven now preparing a place for us, worshiping the Lord and serving Him day and night forever. Brethren and sisters in Christ, we thank God for worship here on earth. We thank God for service for God here on earth, but it is but a preparation. What a preparing of ourselves for heaven and for glory. Yes, here on earth our service and our worship for the Lord can often be hindered by the ways of the world, by our own weaknesses, our own inabilities, our own infirmities. But in heaven our worship will be perfect. Our service will be perfect. In heaven our worship and our service will be complete. It will be pure. It will be sweet. In the presence of the Lord forevermore. As believers, we have a tremendous prospect. You go back again to our Bible reading tonight and to our text there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Notice those final words, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's our tremendous prospect as God's people. The hope of heaven, the hope of glory, and all that it entails. And that hope is all why? Because of grace. Because of Christ who loved us, who gave Himself for us, who shed His blood freely for us, redeeming us from our sins and saving us and bringing us into the family and the fold of God. Dear believer, the Lord says in His word that you have been blessed in Christ. And this is what the Bible says. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places. And Christ, what a prize, what a heritage, what a hope, what an inheritance. And dear believer, the Bible teaches us there's no power on earth. There's no power in hell. Not all the forces of darkness together, arrayed together, can ever rob you, dear Christian, of this prize, of this hope, of this inheritance. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The Lord who saves. It's the Lord who keeps. Oh, tonight as we get down to prayer, let us thank God tonight in our hearts and in our souls for these things that God has prepared for us. We don't deserve them. We didn't earn them. We didn't merit them. But they've been bestowed upon us freely, lovingly, graciously to us through Christ and through the merits of the blood of the Lamb who loved us, who gave Himself for us upon the cross. We'll maybe turn again in our hymn book, just for another hymn before we get down to prayer, to the hymn number 596. 596 in your hymn book, 596 in the page 417. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. 596. We'll stand again as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts.
tremendous hymn and great words of truth, written by Fanny Crosby, a lady who was blinded when she was a child. But what a heritage she's left the people of God, and how she had that spiritual vision of heaven and of glory and looking forward to heaven. What a day it'll be when we'll see the Saviour face to face. We'll just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to take part, young and old alike. Let us pray one with another, one for another. Do you remember the services over the weekend? Pray for the Reverend McLaughlin as he testifies on the Lord's Day evening. Do pray God will bless the little invites given out. Remember the children's meetings as well. Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge here. Friday night, the youth fellowship, the Sabbath school, and the Bible class. Pray for the outreach as well online. Do remember the sick and the elderly. And do remember the forthcoming gospel prayer service as a gospel witness, and then the mission in Springfield in March. And do remember also the mission that Noel and Colin are involved in there in Macra Lynn up on the other side of Lurgan. Do pray for our missionaries as well. And maybe you could just remember those labouring down in the south of England tonight, especially the Reverend Kyle Paisley there in Old and Broad, laboured away faithfully for many years. Remember the Reverend Philip Knowles in London as well, and then the little work down in Lewis, down in Sussex there near Canton, has no pastor. Pray for that work as well, a handful of people, that the Lord would bless them and strengthen their hand and God. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, encourage as many as possible to pray as the Lord leads and guides by His Spirit in the time that is left. And maybe ask our brother, Mr. John.